All right. Well, happy new year to you. This is crazy because we are finally in a brand new decade. 2020 has officially begun at the fountain. And I believe because of God's grace, because of God's presence, we've been singing about it, right? That God is here. He's working in this place and not just around us, but he's working in us. I believe because of God's grace working in your life and how God has been working in this church, that 2020 is going to be our best year yet. Amen. 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 So today we're starting a brand new series called Vivid. Vivid. I got a new TV for Christmas, and man, we are seeing in vivid color in a different kind of way. So I've been thinking a lot about this vivid idea. But vivid basically means this: when you think of vivid, you think of just bright, bold color, right? Maybe a dream that you have that you can just like, it's almost like it's so real that when you wake up, you're kind of like wondering if it really happened. Vivid. And so I've got a tagline for this series that I think is going to help us. The series is vivid, but the tagline is this: seeing 2020. Seeing 2020. Because what we're going to be talking about in this series is, I really believe as we begin 2020, I believe everybody wants to live a better life. Everybody wants to live a better life in a new decade, right? I mean, that's why the gyms are filled with people. I drove by a gym the other day, and I didn't sign up yet. But, man, they were packed with people, and the six-month and 12-month memberships that everybody's going to use 2 months, you know. The other thing is you see new resolutions and new goals that everybody's trying to make, you know, hashtag living my best life. The problem is, we want to live a new life, but so many times there's things that happen in the past that oftentimes prevent us from moving forward with a fresh start completely in the future. Sometimes that happens. I got sick back in 2019, and I'm still getting my voice back in 2020, okay? So here's the thing. And what we talked about last week is that everybody wants to live a new life, but everybody wants to be different and be a new person in this next year. But in 2020, for that to really be different for you, for you to really be new, a new creation, a new person, what we need a power that's greater than us. We need a power. We need a help that comes from higher than us. We need to see God with new eyes. We need to see God with God's vision. And so thinking about 10 years ago, in 2010, 10 years ago, there was a company that started by a glass scientist and a mathematician. And the company is called Enchroma. And basically they learned that one in every 12 men deal with being colorblind. So if you've ever wondered why we don't match, right? One in every 12 men are colorblind. One in every 200 women are colorblind. And I almost said suffer from being colorblind, but you don't know that you're struggling if you're colorblind because you've only seen things a certain way, okay? You've only seen things with colors that look kind of all the same. But they accidentally stumbled across this formula. I love how God sometimes brings the best ideas. God is an innovative God. He's our creator, right? And he creates things in so many cool ways. And sometimes some of the best inventions that are out there were accidental inventions. And so this was one of those accidental inventions where these creators of this company basically found a way to make glasses that would help people who are colorblind to put on these glasses and they can see for the first time in vivid color. And so there's tons of video reactions online, and I'm not trying to advertise for the company. The point is going to be clear in a minute, but they put on these glasses, and wow, it's just, I got emotional watching these stories. I spent way too much time watching YouTube, right, watching these stories of people putting on these glasses, and it's undeniable what they experienced. In fact, I want to show you a story, a short clip from a guy who is a deputy in one of the sheriff's offices somewhere in the country, and his colleagues got together, they pitched in, and they got him a pair of these glasses. Check it out.
I got you something.
Got you a small surprise. You have any idea what those are?
Yeah.
You're gonna make her cry.
I'm already hold your crying.
I better hold your balloons.
Let me go over your glasses.
Now the question is, how did he...
Is he okay?
I think they're working.
Are they?
Oh my god.
What do you see?
A different world.
Can you see the green?
It's different than that.
And they say, according to the instructions, it'll get better as you
go. It'll get better in about a couple weeks.
It's different.
But they come up with these in a van. You see your balloons? You see the purple? What, tell them which one's the purple.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh.
That one's purple. You got green, blue.
There's a red one here somewhere.
The red, and then yellow.
Oh my goodness. My wife is gonna go watch a sunset with me.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, there's a lot of smoke.
Well, I'm standing out here with a bunch of people from the Sheriff's Department that came out, and they presented me with something that is absolutely unbelievable. And for the first time in my life, I see all the colors.
You wouldn't believe this place. This whole place just lit up. I mean, the whole world just lit up.
Make some phone calls. Who that guy is?
I know, me too. I know. I can't wait to see you. Pretty cool stuff.
Got you a small
cup. So anyway, I mean, I love those reactions, you know? I was like, sorry to throw an emotional video at you, but I'm like watching these, and I'm doing the same thing you're doing, you know? It's like, it's emotional. Like, he'd seen something his whole life. His perspective was just, this is what it was. And all of a sudden, he puts on glasses, and he can see with new eyes and vivid color for the first time. And you notice he said, it's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. He said, this whole place just lit up. It lit up. And I tell you that because I believe that's what Jesus wants to do in your life in this year. I believe that's what Jesus wants to do in your life this year. He wants to put on a new vision. He wants to give you new eyes and a new vision to see him more clearly. He wants to give you new eyes and new vision to follow his purposes like never before. You know, I was thinking about Aladdin. A whole new world, right? I don't need to be singing right now, but anyway, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, here's what he said. It's a great promise for you. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Man, what a great message that is for this new year. Let me tell you what I tell my kids. I'll tell you what I tell my kids. Oftentimes, before I put them to bed at night, we'll have these little heart-to-hearts where I'll say, I'm so proud of you. Here's what I love about you. You know, we'll talk about Jesus and stuff. But I was talking to my daughter, Kelsey, the other day, and I said, do you know this? That God has huge plans for your life. Bigger plans than you could ever dream or think or imagine. It's like, I can't even come up with, I'm your daddy, and I can't even come up with all God's going to do in your life. And I can't wait to watch. I've got a front row seat. I can't wait to watch what God's going to do in your life if you'll let him. And let me just say that because that's the message that Paul is saying to us. I believe God wants to say over you this year that God has big plans for your year. He wants to work in your life if you'll let him. And so here's the question. What if in 2020 we could really see God? And what if we could see see God's purposes for our lives in living color like never before? What might God be waiting to do? Today we're gonna look at a story in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus encounters a man who was living a good life. He was living a life that everybody else was living, and it was fine. But Jesus sees him, and he sees beyond the life that he's living, and he's inviting him to be a part of something new that God's wanting to do in his life. And I love Luke's gospel because in Luke's gospel, we just read some of that in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 1 and 2. That's where you get, you know, the nativity scene and the shepherds and all that. By the time we get to Luke chapter 5, though, Jesus already has a reputation for being an incredible teacher. He's got a reputation for being a great healer and also a miracle worker, right? That people were seeing when they were in the presence of Jesus, Jesus changed people's lives. And so by this time, Jesus had drawn a huge crowd everywhere he went, everywhere he taught. And two men caught Jesus' attention as he's teaching the crowd. Let's check it out in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, basically that's the Sea of Galilee, same body of water, same place. You call it tomato, I call it tomato. It says the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. It was so attractive that everybody wanted to be around him. It says he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people. He taught the people from the boat. So let's just stop right here. This is the context. But I love this about Luke's gospel, how Luke is always wanting to make it clear that Jesus always was inviting people, never wanting people to miss out on what he's wanting to do. In Luke's gospel, we see so many stories of how God includes people into the fold, into the story. That's why you see the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. That's why in Luke chapter 15, we get the story of the prodigal son. You know, the guy who runs far away from his father's home, and it's a picture of God and us. And he runs far away from his father's blessing. He finds himself in a ditch, and he comes crawling back home thinking, maybe I can work as a slave in my father's, you know, guest home. But instead, as he's standing on his father, he finds his father not pouting and not, you know, shaking his fist, but waiting basically on the porch for his son to come home. And when he sees his son, he runs to him and he throws his arms around him as if to say, I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you've done, what you've done. Welcome home. That's Luke's gospel. And so here again, we see in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is teaching a crowd of people. It's starting to get so crowded that probably it was getting a little hard to hear for some people. But Jesus notices that out of the crowd that there was at least one guy, Simon, some of his buddies, that they were kind of off by themselves. And what were they doing? They were washing their nets. They were not washing their nets. And Jesus didn't want him to miss what God was wanting to do in his life. You know, Simon is, of course, the disciple who we know as Peter. Same guy, same dude, you know? Peter, the one who tried to walk on water, all sorts of things. But he's not a disciple yet. He's about to be. But I love this because Jesus was going to so change his identity. He was going to change his identity so much that what people called him was about to change from Simon to Peter. And I think that's a good picture of what God wants to do in your life. God wants to do such a deep work in your life that people won't even recognize you as the same person anymore. That's happened in so many stories here at this church. And those same people who maybe have labeled you in the past as a failure or maybe have given up on you will have to step back and rethink how they assessed you before because God is doing such a big work in your life. So I want you to notice this. Notice that Jesus just gets in Simon's boat. The scripture doesn't say he asked permission to board Simon's boat. It doesn't say that. No, he just gets in Simon's boat. And before you get all spiritual about that, let's just talk about that real. Like, first of all, if you don't think that's weird, just try doing that when you leave from church today. You know, just find an unlocked car, you know? Don't find a Camry or something like that. Find the coolest unlocked car you can find. Because if you're going to get in somebody's ride, make sure it's a cool ride, right? Get in somebody's car right after church and just sit there. Just sit there waiting on them, right? And when they come to the door and they kind of look at you like, what are you doing? And they knock on the window like, why are you in my car? Just say, oh, it's okay. I saw that you have a fountain sticker on the back of your car. I figure you go to the fountain. I figure you're a Christian. I need to use your car. Can I have your keys? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to be calling the police. That is a weird scene, y'all. That's like a weird scene, right? You won't believe what happened to me today. Some dude was in my car, right? This is what Jesus does. He just gets up in his ride. He gets up in his boat, and basically he doesn't even ask. In fact, it's interesting because Simon and Jesus kind of knew each other. They were kind of friends. Jesus had previously, he had just healed Simon's mother-in-law. I don't know if that brought them together or not, but they had an acquaintance there. And Jesus is getting all up in his business. And I want you to think about this. Simon Peter had been fishing all night long. He'd been fishing all night long, and he hadn't caught anything. We're going to learn in a minute. And he's cleaning his nets. He's packing up his gear. He's tired. He's ready to go home. He's ready to call it a day. And all of a sudden, Jesus interrupts Simon. He interrupts him, and he steps in his boat. Man, I don't know. If you're ever tired and somebody kind of gets in your way, man, it's frustrating, right? But it's kind of reminds me of, you know, when you were in school and the teacher's teaching and you kind of drifted off or you weren't paying attention, and the teacher knows that, and so they come up to you and they don't call you out, but they just start teaching right in front of you, and you start realizing, oh, I guess I got caught and I better start paying attention, right? So he starts trying to pay attention to Jesus because Jesus has gotten real close to him in his boat. And Jesus, you know, he rows off a little bit further from the water. And check this out, wanting everybody to be included, he uses the natural acoustics of the water in order to amplify his voice so that everybody can hear. And then here's what happens, verse 4. It says this. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. I'm ready to go fishing, right? That's basically what Jesus is saying. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This is a moment where it's like, dude, you already got in my car. And wait a minute, now you're wanting a free charter. You wanted me to take you fishing somewhere when I've been doing it all day long. And I can tell you there's no fish out there. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life before where you are an expert in your field and somebody tries to tell you how to do your job that's never done your job before. You ever had that experience? It's kind of interesting. Yeah, some of us, right? Or maybe you get a new manager. You get a new manager that they're brand new and they got hired and they would have never gotten hired for the position that you have, but they come in and they try to tell you, they try to school you on how to do your job, and you're thinking, man, I was born before, like you weren't even born when I was doing this job, right? I experience this sometimes as a parent too. We go to Walmart. It's always at Walmart, right? We go to Walmart and our kids start going ballistic, right? And everybody starts looking at us and we're like, I know, we're trying. And we get the sympathy looks from all the people who have had kids. But it's always the person who doesn't have kids that walks up to us and tries to fix our situation. And we're like, lady, you don't even know, right? You've never done this before. In those moments, it's easy to get defensive, isn't it? When somebody's trying to tell you what to do and you're like, what do you know? You don't have kids. You don't do my job. What do you know? I wonder if Simon Peter ever had thoughts like that with Jesus. You know, I wonder if he's thinking like, okay, Jesus, like, yeah, I wonder if he, as Jesus told him to go back out and why don't you fish in a different area? Oh yeah, that's a good idea, Jesus. He's a professional fisherman. He's been doing this his whole life, every single day. He knew where the fish were biting and where they weren't. I wonder if Simon thought, I tell you what, I mean, he probably was ready to school Jesus and say, I tell you what, Jesus, you stick to teaching people and carpentry and I'll handle the fishing, okay? Right? I wonder if he was tempted to say, okay, Jesus, you build things and you talk to people, but just don't interfere with my job, okay? Jesus, I love you and what you're saying on Sundays, and it's really nice, but don't interfere with my relationships, okay? Don't interfere with how I spend my money. Don't interfere with how I use my time. Don't interfere with my life because I'm doing okay, okay? I wonder if he thought that. And so Simon, he gets a little bit of an attitude, and here's what he says in verse 5. It says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Check out this. We've worked hard with our effort. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. and he's waiting on Jesus to give him an out, but he doesn't. But here's what Simon says. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. I mean, maybe Simon was thinking Jesus was going to stop him and say, oh, you've been fishing all day. My bad. I didn't know. Never mind. I'll just stay in my lane. Like if you say, you're a fisherman, and if you say there's no fish, that must be the truth. There's no fish. But let's just give Simon some credit, because although he had an attitude, he still chose to obey. Although he had an attitude and he didn't really want to do it, he still chose to obey. He thought it was probably stupid that Jesus was wanting him to go back out on the lake. I'm tired. This is dumb. You don't have a fish finder. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? And so, but notice this phrase that he says. It's amazing. He says, but Jesus, because you say so, I will. Like, this seems so dumb. See, sometimes God will call you to do something that maybe you've tried over and over and over. God will invite you to be a part of something, and you're like, I already tried that before, and it didn't work. Maybe you did it with your own power. God will invite you into something in this new year, and you're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. But man, I love this phrase, Jesus, because you say so, I will. I just imagine, what might God be waiting to do if we can get ourselves in that place of obedience this year? If we can get ourselves in that place of obedience, just imagine what God might be waiting to do in your life. See, God always blesses obedience. And we don't love the word obedience because we think of dogs and obedient school, right? And being told to do something that we don't want to do. But God always blesses obedience. The reason we can obey God is because God loves us. And when you love God back, man, you just want to obey him. You just want to follow him. And so God always blesses obedience. In fact, some of us have been praying for blessing in this new year. We're waiting on some blessing from God. But I want to let you know, it often starts with a simple step of obedience in God's direction. It oftentimes starts, the momentum starts when you start taking steps of obedience in God's direction. Maybe you were tired today and you're like, I don't want to go to church, but you took a step of obedience and you came, and maybe God will speak to you exactly what you want to hear because of that simple step of obedience. Some of you are like, man, I've got so much going on in my life, but you took a step to start serving, and God's been blessing you from that. You never know what God will do from a simple step of obedience. But here's what I want you to see here, because Simon could only see the surface of the possibilities that were around him. But here's the first lesson I want you to see. Number one is that God can see possibilities beyond what you can see. God can see possibilities in your life beyond what you can see. Think about this. Simon Peter had been fishing all night long, and he caught nothing. Just imagine how frustrating that is. You ever done that before? You go fishing. I got invited to go fishing on Lake Lanier one time, which I've never caught anything on Lake Lanier. I thought it was dumb, but I went because these guys had a really big boat and fish finders and all the cool gear, and they said, we always catch something when we go. I was like, oh man, this is not gonna be good, because I'm like fish repellent, okay? And so we went, and they were so mad. Because I caught the bottom a couple times, but we did not catch, the whole crew didn't catch anything on Lake Lanier that day. And it was so frustrating. You ever been there before? You've been fishing and fishing and fishing and you catch nothing? Maybe you've been there in your life before, where you've been fishing in so many different places and wells and trying to find life in so many places, but you're coming up empty. There's nothing, nothing. And so all Simon Peter could see were the empty nets. All he could see were empty nets, but Jesus saw the nets as a vessel that he could fill. All Peter could see was where his worn-out effort could take him that night. But Jesus saw someone who was finally ready to experience the power of God working in his life. I want to show you this picture I came across on Facebook of a canvas. Here's the picture. And it says, at the top, it says, there is nothing so promising or intimidating as a clean canvas. There is nothing so promising or intimidating as a clean canvas. The thing is, as we jump into 2020, the year ahead of you is a blank canvas. It is. There's so many possibilities of what God's waiting to do. And for some of you, that's really promising because it's like, wow, I get a fresh start. That's exciting stuff. For some of you, it might be intimidating because it's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, or maybe worse, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's kind of like you're afraid of repeating old patterns and old habits and ending up the same as you were before. See, the thing is, though, God sees new possibilities in front of you in this next year that you can't even see. And if you'll have the faith to step forward in obedience with Jesus in this year, he's going to do something big in your life if you'll let him. Here's how the story continues, verse 6. So they, Jesus, I don't want to do it, but I'll go out on the boat with you. Let's go into the deep water and let's try to catch some fish. And here's what happens. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. It says, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. See, when God starts working in your life, what happens is God does something in your life, and all of a sudden, your life and Jesus in you starts impacting other people, and they start getting involved with what God's doing in their life. So they start coming to help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. They must have been laughing hysterically. Right? This must have been the greatest story, the greatest moment ever for a fisherman. Like, literally, we've caught nothing all night. It was awful. And we went back out. Remember that time we were with Jesus? And all of a sudden, like, we not only filled up one whole boat, and that never happens, but we had to call, you know, Cletus and Bubba over to help us and fill their boat up. We filled both boats up. And remember that time we started to sink because Jesus brought so much blessing on our life that our boats couldn't even handle it. I mean, this is this moment where they're telling a fishing story. They're experiencing a fishing story that they were going to be telling for the rest of their lives. And I just imagine, just think, they went from fishing all night and catching nothing, but now they're pulling up two boatfuls of fish, laughing because the boat can't even handle how much blessing Jesus brought. But I think that the sequence that Jesus takes them on is so important, because if they had just gone from like, wow, we got fish every day. They're just, you ever seen those videos where the fish just jump in the boats? Right? Never happens with me. But anyway, if they was just like that the whole time without Jesus, without going through the disappointment, they might not have understood where the power of the blessing came from. See, what happens here is Jesus allows them to go through the low place, the disappointment, the feeling of emptiness and nothingness, and we can't do it, we don't have it, so that he could teach them a lesson. See, if Jesus was with them the whole time, they might have missed it, because they wouldn't have seen what their life was like without Jesus. See, here's the thing. They were able to see in that moment that real power, where real power comes from. See, they tried all night with their own effort. They tried all night with their own effort, doing it their old way, and they came up empty. And so it's really a simple lesson here. Without Jesus, they caught nothing. With Jesus, they caught everything. Isn't that awesome? Without Jesus, their nets were empty. But with Jesus, Jesus took the empty places in their nets and he filled them. This is what Jesus wants to do in you and in me. See, that's the story of Peter in this moment, but it's the story of Peter throughout his whole life. And I was thinking, if Peter could say something to you in 2020, what might he say to you? I think he might tell you this second lesson, number two. I think Peter might tell you this, that with Jesus, this time doesn't have to be like last time. With Jesus, this time doesn't have to be like last time. Maybe you came to church because you need to hear that God can do something new in your life. Because maybe you've tried to live a new life with your own power and hadn't worked. Maybe you've thrown nets into the lake. You're throwing out your nets every year, year after year, into new places and new strategies, and you've read all the books, and you've tried all the things, and you've seen the counselor, and you've done all the stuff, but maybe this year you didn't even bother throwing out nets anymore, because what's the point? It didn't work in the past. Why would it work this time? And so many times we quit and we give up, and it may be that we quit one time before we experience God's blessing in our lives. See, a blessing that we didn't even know was even possible. But oftentimes we let what happened last time determine what we believe God can do this time. I want you to know that in this new year there's hope, because there is a different power that comes from on high, that you don't have to pull yourself up from your bootstraps and change yourself. The message of the gospel is that God has the power to give you the ability where you don't have to just put on more steam. You don't have to try a new strategy. He can make you new. So let me ask you this question. Where are you looking to fill your nets this year? Or where are you going to look to fill your nets this year? See, it's not about a new strategy. It's not about finding a new fishing spot. It's not about putting on more steam and trying to get better. It's certainly not about checking out some of those books in the Christian bookstore or the Amazon or whatever that basically says the power of positive thinking, change your mindset and change you. Those don't work. You'll waste your money. Like, the only thing that works is when you connect your life to the right source. You need a different power source. I love at the beginning of the story that Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat, and he wanted to use Peter's nets. Now, I just imagine that Peter is probably, he's taking care of his nets, and I just imagine that Peter's probably thinking, Jesus, I've got a small boat. Like, there's a guy over there who has a yacht, and he's got the fish-finding equipment, and he's got everything that you'd ever want. Why don't you use his boat? I just imagine that as he's looking at his nets when he hadn't caught anything, that he's probably looking at Jesus like, why do you want to use my nets? Have you seen the way I fished today? I hadn't caught anything. I've been out all night and I've tried, but I've caught nothing. Why do you want to use my empty nets? And I believe that Jesus wants to say to all of you, I want to use your small boat. I want to use your empty nets, your empty places. And we're like, well, why? Like, why, Jesus? Why the one who can walk on water? Why do you want to use my net? Why do you want to use my boat? You could just do it yourself. But Jesus says to us, it's because I want to use your weaknesses. I want to work in the middle of your disappointments this year. I want to invite you to bring to me your empty places and trust me to fill them. Because Jesus wants to show you that a new life isn't about you filling your nets. It's about connecting your life to your God who can come inside of you and can fill you. And so here's how the story continues. They're looking at everything. They're looking at this fish. They're thinking, we are millionaires. We have so much fish. Here's what happens next. Verse 8. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. It says, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You've been fishing for fish your whole life. I want to invite you to be a part of something bigger. And it says, so they pulled up their boats up on the shore, left everything, and they followed him. But I love how Peter, in this moment, he's just so overwhelmed by the blessing that Jesus has just brought in his life. And he's basically like, Lord, I don't deserve this. Like, I'm so unworthy of this. And Jesus is saying, you're right. You're right. You don't deserve it. See, that's the posture, though, of receiving God's grace. That's when you become malleable and usable by God. It's not about what you can do for God in this year, but what God is wanting to do in your life and through your life and for you and with you. And so that's why when Peter and his friends, they saw this, they pulled up their boat on the shore. They left their livelihood. They left everything, including all the fish in both boats, the biggest blessing that God had ever plopped in their laps. They left all of that in order to follow a greater source who is the one who brought the blessing in the first place. And so that's my invitation for you as we start 2020. Where are you looking to fill your nets this year? Where are you going to go to fill your nets this year? See, when God sees the year 2020, God sees new possibilities for you. He sees possibilities in your life beyond what you can see. And so this year, let's bring our boats to him. Let's bring our empty nets to him. Let's bring our lives to Jesus. And let's trust Jesus to fill them and to fill us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you want to do in our lives. We are so honored and humbled. We're so honored and humbled, God, that you love us so much, that you don't have to use our boats. You don't have to use our nets. You don't have to work in our lives, but God, you love us so much that you choose to invite us in. And I pray for every single person in here that, God, when we're tempted in this next year to try to make ourselves new with our own power, would you just pull us back to the source? Would you tap us on the shoulder and remind us that you're our source? God, you're the one that wants to fill us and work in our lives. And so in this next year, God, may we cling to you like never before, and may you fill us like never before so that we can be used by you. God, fill our empty places, mend our broken nets, use us, work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.